Good morning and welcome to worship with West End United Methodist Church. My name is Susan Luna Hazelwood and I serve on the hospitality team. It is a joy to have you worship with us today. We invite you to fully participate. You will find worship materials in the description section of our live feed. As we prepare our hearts and minds to worship, we invite you to light a candle as a sign of Christ's presence with you today. May God be with you as we enter this holy time together.
Good morning, family in Christ, and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We are so pleased to have you join us for worship this morning. I would like to invite you this morning to follow the prompts on the screen as they appear, and then also follow the comments section as different prompts and hymn lyrics and other items will show up as you are worshiping. I invite you to take a moment right now to register your attendance with us, and then prepare your space of worship by lighting a candle or finding a Bible. Perhaps you have a hymnal on hand or something else, anything that helps make where you are right now a place that is a place of worship and puts you into a worshipful spirit. We have a few announcements this morning, and I'd like to start with a very important one. Several weeks ago, we began preparing to return to in-person worship on Sunday, August 9th. However, with the recent increase in coronavirus cases in the Nashville metro area, and also with the Nashville government's decision to move us back to phase two, we are sorry to say that our reopening task force has decided to push back the resumption of in-person worship. To say we are disappointed is an understatement. We really want to be back together, but we believe it is in the best interests of everyone's health and well-being that we are patient and that we wait just a little bit longer. Our reopening task force will continue to monitor the situation in Nashville, and we will work to determine when the appropriate time to resume in worship will be. So be sure to continue to check our Friday update emails. In the meantime, your ministerial staff is working on thinking of creating ways that we can continue to stay connected and maybe even get together at some point in the future. We ask that you pray for us as we navigate this unprecedented situation, as we pray for you in these difficult times. This morning at 10 a.m., you are invited to join us for our Summer Sunday series with Dr. Jimmy Bird from Vanderbilt Divinity School. He will be presenting the second in a four-week series on religion, slavery, and the American Civil War. The first of these timely series was well received last week. And if you had trouble logging on last week, be assured that we have increased our Zoom capacity, so you should have no problem getting in this morning. If you still need the link, feel free to email my address, and that should be showing up in the comments. We invite you also tonight to join us on Facebook or on live stream as we have our monthly Tizay service at 5 o'clock p.m. It's the Tizay service of prayer and healing, and this meditative service of music and reading and silence and healing is a much needed balm for the weary soul in these restless times. And last but certainly not least, we hope you will make every effort to join us for worship next Sunday, July 26, when we officially welcome the confirmation class of 2019-2020 into full membership in our church. The confirmation ceremony was delayed when we had to take a break for the coronavirus, so we hope you will help us welcome these wonderful young people who have patiently waited for this special moment. And now let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship the God of Jacob.
Lord Jesus Christ, be present now, our hearts in true devotion bow. Thy Spirit send with grace divine, and let thy truth within us shine. Thank you.
If we ascend to the highest heaven, or go down to the lowest valley, you are there. Everywhere we are, O Lord, we worship you.
Let us come now before God with our confessions, trusting that nothing can ever separate us from God's love.
Loving and merciful God, in these times of anxiety, uncertainty, and grief, it is tempting to believe you are nowhere to be found. We shoulder our own worries, or we turn a blind eye. We struggle to loosen our grip and to offer you our open hands. Now more than ever, it is difficult to trust. And yet, you have always been here with us, even when we were not aware. Forgive us, loving God, for forgetting the depths of your love for us. Restore the hope we have in you, so we may be bearers of your goodness and love everywhere we go. Amen.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
Peace be with you.
Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, Genesis 28:10 to 19a. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring, and your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I'm going to invite all of our younger viewers, our children out there, to move a little closer to the screen at this time for our children's moment. It's good to see everyone today. I am happy to be here today in Pastor Carol's absence. And I brought something with me, and I don't know if you recognize what this is, but I bet a lot of you have played this game before. Have you seen this game? This is called Chutes and Ladders. And it's a game where you move your game piece along the board from one square to the next, and sometimes you land on a square with a ladder, and so you get to go up, and you get ahead of your opponents in the game. But then sometimes you come to a chute. And when you come to a chute, you go down the ladder and you end up back behind your opponents. And so it's kind of a game of ups and downs. Sometimes you think you're moving ahead and then all of a sudden you go backwards again. And you never know when you're finally going to get up to that very top square, square 100, to win. You know, the time in which we're living right now is a time of a lot of ups and downs. You may have heard me say a few minutes ago that we were planning on opening the church for worship in person in August, and now we're having to push that back. It's kind of like we were going up the ladder, and now we're going down the chute. Some of you may be wondering right now, am I going to go back to school again this fall? Or when I do go back to school, how is that going to be? Am I going to be doing that online, or will it be in person? These are very difficult times. Sometimes it's even hard to know whether we can go and play with our friends or not. You know, in the midst of all of these times that seem uncertain, where we're going up and then we're going down again, we're going forward and we're going backwards, it's important to remember that in the midst of that, God is with us. Today we're going to hear a story about a man named Jacob, and we just heard it read by Miss Mary, and now I'm going to preach on that in a minute. And that story tells us that Jacob saw this ladder going into heaven, and it reminded him that God isn't so far away from our world after all, that God comes to meet us, and that God is with us through all the ups and all the downs. So no matter how you're feeling today, I ask you to remember that God loves you very much, that God is with you, and that God is always there on the ladder, pulling you up with God. Let us pray together. Gracious Lord, we know that right now we live in a time of many ups and downs, but we give you thanks that you are with us in all of it. We give you thanks for the story of Jacob and how he sees you on a ladder. And it reminds him that we can meet you wherever we are and that you are with us in all things. Thank you for your love and your care for us, even when things are difficult. It is in your holy name that we pray. Amen. So I don't know what it says about my maturity level that this week, every time I read about this glorious vision of this stairway to heaven, right, for Led Zeppelin fans, or this ladder going from earth into the divine realm with the messengers of God going up and down, every time I thought of that wonderful image of Jacob's, all I could think of was the children's game, Chutes and Ladders. Now, I feel a little better about myself because after a little digging, I realize I'm not the only minister that's ever thought this before. And I suspect it's because the game of Chutes and Ladders is so popular. It's been around for hundreds of years in different forms, and people around the world have played it. Probably everyone watching today has played that game or some form of it at some point, no matter how young or how old you are. But you know, I really like the image of Chutes and Ladders when it comes to the story of Jacob right now. Because we're kind of in the middle of Jacob's story. Jacob has sort of been climbing the ladders, if you will, of earthly success. In our day and age, we might say he was climbing the ladder of success. He's been going up, up, and up, although it hasn't always been through very honest means. If you remember last week, we heard how Jacob tricked his brother Esau out of his birthright for a simple bowl of stew. His brother came in from the fields. He was famished and tired, and he said, "Jacob, I've got to have some of that red stuff you're making." And Jacob saw that he was vulnerable and said, "Okay, but give me your birthright first." And Esau, without thinking, said, "Sure, just give me the food." He tricked his brother out of his birthright. It was good for Jacob, but not so good for Esau. Another story that Pastor Carol referenced last week that we actually haven't heard this time in our Genesis cycle is that a little while later, Jacob and his mother, Rebekah, tricked Jacob's father, Isaac, into giving him the older brother's blessing as well. So the blessing that should have been given to Esau as his father was getting old and getting ready to pass away and transfer everything over to his son, it went to Jacob instead. So Jacob had been going up and up and up, but through some dishonest ways. And you could say that right now, this is a place where Jacob has hit the first chute. He's starting to go down a bit. He is fleeing for his life because his brother is so angry at the way he's been treated, at the things that Jacob has done, that he has vowed to kill Jacob. Now, Jacob's mother says, "Why don't you go to the ancestral homeland to find a wife right now?" And that's not unprecedented in the book of Genesis. Abraham found his wife in their ancestral homeland, as did Jacob's father Isaac. But this journey is different. This journey serves a dual purpose. And possibly the primary purpose is to get Jacob out of town. He's on the road back to his homeland because he's fleeing the wrath of his brother. He's literally in an in-between place. His family's been living in this foreign land that's been promised to them but is not theirs yet. He's heading to the native lands from which they came, and he's kind of in this in-between space, this place where he might not have expected to meet God. Also, we have to wonder, was Jacob in an in-between place in his own journey, spiritually and emotionally? The Bible doesn't say anything about this, but I have to wonder if Jacob, now on the run, is starting to second guess all the ways that he has acted in the past. Maybe the cost of climbing those ladders has been too costly. Now he's leaving what he's known as home behind. His brother is mad at him, and he's not sure what's coming next. There's not a lot here that shows us that Jacob has changed just yet, but we know that Jacob is beginning a journey of wrestling with God. So here we have Jacob resting in this in-between place. And he finds a rock because he's getting tired, and he sets the rock on the ground and he uses that as a pillow. And he lays down and he puts his head upon this rock, and suddenly Jacob has this wonderful dream, this vision of a ladder. It's a ladder that goes from the earthly realm all the way into the heavenly realm. It's as if suddenly the realm of the divine and the realm of earth are not so far apart. And the angels or the messengers of God are scurrying up and down that ladder doing their work. We're so used to hearing the phrase Jacob's ladder or singing about Jacob's ladder that we might not know that really probably the better way to translate it is a stairwell, or even better yet, a set of steps. The kind of steps that might have been on the side of a temple in the ancient Near East. So here Jacob envisions this step ladder with these messengers of God, and then suddenly Jacob realizes something. Jacob notices that the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac is there with him too. Now, some translations say that God is at the top of the stepladder. Others say that God is somewhere in between or in the midst of journeying down those steps. Still, others suggest that the best way to think of this appearance of God is that God is right next to Jacob. But what I want you to hear, and what's most important here, is that it's God that is coming down to meet Jacob. This is all about what God is doing, not about what Jacob has done, not about what Jacob is doing at the moment, potentially about what Jacob is going to be doing, but this is about what God is doing. And God has come to Jacob, a hero and a character that we might not think deserves to meet God. We struggle with this imperfect messenger, and we've been learning about how throughout the book of Genesis, God continues to work with very imperfect people. Thinking back to the game of chutes and ladders for a minute, if you know anything about the history of chutes and ladders, it began in India almost 2,000 years ago. And in its original form, it's a game of snakes and ladders. And it's always been used to teach lessons about the way the world works, common folk wisdom about things like fate, and even in certain traditions, things like karma, the idea that what you do in this life might affect what happens to you in the next life in a Hindu sense. As it has been brought into our culture, and it was popularized in the 20th century as a children's game, it was also used to teach lessons. It was used to teach sort of simple binary lessons about good behavior and bad behavior, so that if you do something good, you get to go up the ladder and you start to win the game. And if you do something bad, you go down the chute and you have to kind of start over again, or you have to build your way back up again. So for instance, on the board I showed today, there's a ladder with a little girl at the bottom and she's planting seeds. And then when you climb up the ladder, at the top of the ladder, she is looking at the beautiful flowers that have grown as a result of her work. At the same time, at the top of the board, you see a boy at the top of a chute, and he is grabbing the tail of a cat. And as you go down the chute, you see that at the bottom, the boy is all scratched up, because that's not the way you're supposed to treat a cat. It's a simple lesson of good and bad. Good is rewarded, bad doesn't bring reward. The most hopeful thing and the most frustrating thing about the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob is that this God, Yahweh, is not a God of karma. This is not even a God of simple good and bad that always rewards goodness in ways that we would expect and always punishes badness in ways that we would expect here on earth. This is a God that instead promises to be with imperfect people from generation to generation to generation. This is a God that works with people as they are, that works across the course of time. But you know what? If we just leave it there, if we just say that the message is that God can work even with imperfect people, that leaves us with another dangerous, simple binary. That can kind of leave us thinking, well, God's going to do whatever God's going to do, and I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do, and things will work out in the end. That is not the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. This God that meets Jacob on a stepladder not only comes down to Jacob in his imperfect state, but welcomes Jacob to the foot of that stepladder and invites Jacob to begin a journey more fully towards the purposes of God, the purposes of fullness of life and hope and love for all of humanity. So when this God of Jacob promises that Jacob's children will fan out from the north to the south and the east and the west and be like the dust and be a blessing to the world, they don't go about doing that just the way Jacob's been acting. It's going to go from generation to generation. And Jacob won't even come close to seeing the fulfillment of the promises of God for God's chosen people or for all of humanity. It's not lost on me that we are living in a time right now where we are wrestling with what it means to face head on our past, our heroes, the people that we are told to look up to and that we think of as building us as a people and as who we are. And we're wrestling with what it means to go back and figure out what was good about the past, but also to face up to what was not so good about the past. What it means that we inherit a world from imperfect people, a world that shapes us that we cannot fully escape. And yet also, we have a God that comes down on a stepladder that invites us to dream dreams bigger than our own dreams. God invited Jacob to dream dreams that were bigger than himself. We are invited to do the same in our lives, in our moment. That's what I love about the Bible, is it faces the heroes of the biblical story head on, warts and all. It looks for the good and the bad, and it names when things are being done right and when things are being done wrong, and God welcomes each generation to take part in taking another step on that divine ladder towards better personal and social holiness. I want you to know that the ladder throughout Christian history has been seen by mystics as a symbol of what it means to both encounter God and then grow in relationship with God. And so as you reflect on this ladder today, on Jacob's stepladder, I want you to imagine what it is for us to be another generation of Jacob's people. Far, far removed from many things that have happened before, but reflecting on those things and continuing to build out the world for God's purposes, and also knowing that God's work will continue even after we are gone. When I was a youth minister, we used to sing a praise song a lot, and it was called Give Us Clean Hands. And it had this phrase in the middle, the bridge, and it said, "Oh God, let us be a generation that sees your face, O God of Jacob." I think that is the call of God to us this morning as God meets us on the stepladder. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. O God of Jacob. Amen.
One of the ways that we grow in our faith is to proclaim our beliefs. And so you can stand in body or spirit as we profess and say, proclaim the statement of faith by the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to a time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team, we will pray for you throughout the week. Please follow the link in the chat. We offer our deepest sympathies to Andrew and David White, who are mourning the death of their father, Donald White, who passed away on July 3rd in Alabama. Graveside services were held in Florence, Alabama on July the 7th. He survived also by Babs White, his former wife. We also offer our sympathies to Sally Soulsby and her family in the death of her son, Mark Soulsby, who passed away on July 11th. Services are still pending. Prepare us now, loving God, for a time of prayer. The Lord be with you. And also with you. Let us pray. O God of Jacob, we come to you this morning like Jacob, who poured the oil on the rock where he slept, offering praise and thanksgiving. Like him, we believe that the door of heaven is open and that we can create a world like it is in heaven. Reassure us today that the same God who opened heaven to Jacob with all his gifts and flaws leans in to hear our whispered prayers. We pray, O Lord, for those whose names or faces or needs are resting upon our hearts. For the members of our families, church, and communities who need your healing, both physically and mentally. For the strength and tenacity of movements of equality and justice. For the world as we navigate the confusion, uncertainty, and challenges of a global pandemic. Bless and encourage all those who feel like giving up. Be with and guide those who are caring for the sick, and draw near to those who are grieving. Thank you for your relenting love that pursues us, apprehends us, and, if we let it, transforms us. May we respond in faith by praying the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We invite you now to give your tithes and offerings so that our congregation can continue the vital ministries in our community and throughout the world. You can give on our website or you can text to give. You can also mail in a check. We realize that many are suffering economically right now, but we encourage you to give as you are able. We know that God can multiply the gifts for God's glory and the benefit of God's kingdom. So let us give with joy today.
We are coming to a very exciting time in today's service because we are actually going to welcome 13 new persons into membership today virtually. You might be surprised by that, but Pastor Aaron has been working very hard to have new membership classes online, and some of the persons that you will see that are joining today haven't even stepped foot in our sanctuary yet, but have been worshiping with us online only, and they look forward to the day when they can be back in this special house of God as well. One of the persons joining today, though, is Damon Evans. I want to welcome Damon here and invite him to come forward. Damon also is, and Damon, you can step up right there, please. Damon is also coming forward for baptism today. So we are going to baptize Damon, and then we are going to welcome everyone into membership this morning. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Damon, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this person now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim
the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround him with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, on the ark, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this person who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Damon, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Damon, the Holy Spirit work within you that having been born by water and the Spirit, that you may grow to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now it is our joy to welcome Damon and all of our other new members that are joining our family of Christ this morning.
We'd like to introduce you to April Skinner. April is a neonatal nurse practitioner at Vanderbilt Children's Hospital. She is transferring from St. Junia United Methodist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. This is Frances Bledsoe. Frances is a psychotherapist in private practice. She is transferring from First Unitarian Universalist Church here in Nashville. This is Jim and Mary Cleaver. Jim is retired from the YMCA of the USA, and Mary is self-employed as a project manager. They are transferring from First United Methodist Church of Colorado Springs, Colorado. This is Kristen O'Brien. Kristen is a product manager with Cigna. This is Lauren Owens and Damon Evans, who was just baptized. Lauren and Damon are engaged to be married. Lauren is a social worker, and Damon is a cloud engineer with Change Healthcare. Lauren is transferring from Socestee United Methodist Church in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Damon is transferring from Broadman Baptist Church in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. This is Michelle Dove. Michelle is a civil engineer with Gresham Smith. She is transferring from St. Mark's United Methodist Church in Brandon, Mississippi. This is Parker and Jade Foote. Parker is a graphic designer and senior art director at Statement Branding Agency. Jade is a fourth grade teacher at Rutland Elementary School in Wilson County. They are transferring from Cavanaugh United Methodist Church in Greenville, Texas. This is Rob Cherry. Rob is in golf administration with the Tennessee Golf Foundation. He is transferring from Woodmont Baptist Church here in Nashville. And last but not least, we'd like to introduce you to Blake Adams and Jess Lawson Adams. Blake and Jess have a 10-month-old daughter named Jolene. Blake is a commercial banker with Inns Bank and the co-owner of Pro Vita Gym. And Jess is an education and research consultant as well as a stay-at-home mom. We are so glad to welcome these folks into membership this morning.
This first question is for you. As members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will.
I will. I will.
And for all of you, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will.
I will.
As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will.
I will.
I will.
And in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our commitment to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our strength, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
And now I invite you to go, to seek God, the God who is descending the stepladder to meet you already, and go wherever it is that God leads you. Thanks be to the God that works with imperfect people like us from generation to generation to generation. Amen.